Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
And welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We have the amazing Lowell Ponte here, who does many other shows. He writes with Craig Smith, who's on with Neil Cavuto on Fox News Business every week. And we have lots to cover. We have the first item of the day is these superstorm cold periods that are happening to the Northeast. Extreme weather. Let's talk about that first.
Well, it isn't just there. For example, we had the third time in 100 years, 20 inches of snow blanketing the Sahara Desert in North Africa. Very strange things happening. Al Gore issued a statement saying that bitter cold is exactly what we should expect from the climate crisis.
Isn't that amazing?
This is a man who told us the world was warming, the seas were rising, and is now saying he is justified because we're having, in some cases, the coldest temperatures in 100 years or more hitting the northeastern United States.
I've got a little more information since we talked last. Now, every 360 years, there's a thing called a Maunder cooling period. But what I've observed, actually, is we're very probably in a long cycle ice age, which could last 1,000 years or more. Not just a 70 to 90-year cooling period where the southwest of the United States, say, cools 4 or 5 degrees and gets rainier, and the north starts to be covered by snow, especially across Canada and the northeast. The Thames River 360 years ago had 4 to 5 feet of ice on it. They had ice houses and parties out there in the Thames in London. People don't have long enough memories because nobody's alive that long, but the fact is this is what drove the Vikings out of Greenland. And on top of that, it's very possible we're actually heading into a formal, real, serious ice age, which, according to the stats, if you actually look at the likelihood of a nuclear war or an ice age will kill more people than a nuclear war. That's how bad it is.
Oh, an ice age could be devastating. And if you look at the Viking settlers who were persuaded to buy real estate in Greenland by Eric the Red and so on, that was not a pleasant thing. In fact, what anthropologists find interesting is that decade by decade, they can see the graves of these settlers being dug more and more shallowly as the ground froze right under them.
Right. And I don't think people understand that these cycles do happen in long cycles across human civilization over the last, say, 50,000 years. And that these long ice age cycles are pretty devastating. I think the last one broke around 11,000, 12,000 years ago. And as it broke, of course, the sea level rose, but there used to be a place between Scotland and what we call Norway or Scandinavia called Doggerland. And these areas actually became flooded when the sea level rose. With the ice age, the sea levels fall, and people don't know that, do they? They don't understand that these long cycles can be very devastating, especially most of the population of the world is in the northern hemisphere within range of ice age, melt and freeze, which would destroy food supplies and move populations, massive billions of people, further south toward the equatorial areas.
Right, and let's understand a few simple concepts that explain much of this. First, you say ice ages cause sea level to fall, which is quite right. And that only makes sense if you think about it, because, let's say, 20,000 years ago, there was ice 3,000 feet deep over what today we call Chicago.
Right.
For instance, that is a great ice age. And where does that ice come from? Oh, it comes from the oceans.
Right.
The oceans give it up as evaporated moisture into the air. It then falls as snow inland, but instead of melting off and running through the rivers back to the sea, it just stays on land. And accordingly, in a great ice age, the sea level can fall by 400 feet.
Right. Which can be quite devastating. In fact, the northeast United States and eastern Canada, like Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, most of that was one single landmass. Most people don't realize that the Bay of Fundy and the zone between Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia, and even bridges of land that cross between Quebec and Newfoundland, were actually a land bridge. This is relatively recent, you know, talks of terms of the Earth Age, and we're not prepared for it. We're not prepared for these cycles. Now, there's some pretty good evidence that this long cycle ice age is timed with the passage of the dwarf star, which is our third star. We're a trinary star system. The secondary star is actually Jupiter. Jupiter is not just a planet. It actually gives off more X-rays and infrared light than it receives from the sun. So it formally is actually the sun's twin, but there's actually a third star. It's a long elliptical orbit. The ancients called Heraclobus, Nimbus, the Destroyer, the Dragon Star, whatever. It has 200 times the magnetic field of the sun itself, and a very strong what's called a geomagnetic or torsion field. And as it travels through the near galaxy, what it does is it affects the nuclear reactions inside the corona sphere of the sun, and all the inner planets are basically nuclear reactors. That's how the oil originates in America. And the gold theory was published in 1951 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to all the oil engineers. The Russians believed it, and that's why they drilled down 40,000 feet, because it's not made of dinosaurs and ferns. But what happens is people don't understand we're in a long cycle of 5 million years of ice ages, and I'd like you to expand on that, because you did in your book, The Big Cooling, back 41 years ago. But people don't understand that we're actually heading into not a moderate cooling period, but I'm suspicious, I haven't got total proof yet, that we may be heading into a full-force ice age. What do you think?
I don't know if we're headed into a full-force ice age either, but understand we're in what's called an ice epoch.
Right.
That is, at the South Pole, at the North Pole, it stays freezing temperature much of the year.
Right.
And by the way, when Al Gore lectures about how, oh, well, in the midst of summer, the ice melts off the North Pole. He's talking about the rotational pole. He's talking about the pole that is over water. The sheet of ice that forms across the Arctic is typically 10 feet deep or thick.
Right.
And so it isn't really that much ice by ice age standards. It's quite a small amount of ice. So whether it melts off or not is almost irrelevant. But the point is, even though these ice epochs are relatively rare, accounting for maybe only 5 million years out of every 100 million years, the scary part is we're living midway through an ice epoch right now. We're about 2.5 million years in. So for the next 2.5 million years, we're going to be dealing with this incessant threat of ice. Now, they don't just happen casually. Many scientists believe ice epochs happen because we are also, as a planet and solar system, rotating around the center of our galaxy. And at certain points, predictable points, we pass through arms of the galaxy that happen to be full of dust.
Right.
And so right now, there's actually more interstellar dust between us and the sun than usual.
Right.
But that presumably is why it's icy on the poles now, but there are many factors. I mean, if the poles are both over open ocean as opposed to a closed-in ocean like the Arctic, you may not get any freezing at all. You may have periods of tens of millions of years in which the planet has no ice to speak of. But we're right in the middle of an ice epoch. So we're always threatened, and the problem is, say if you were to take a winter like the devastating winter of 1977-78 as your standard. If you had seven winters in a row like that one winter, you would have an ice age. That is, if you ask where do ice ages happen, well, basically they happen where snow falls now. That's where they happen. And they do not come on with glaciers creeping down at a few inches a year from the North Pole. Ice ages come on with snowfall that comes down, occupies the land, bounces back into space sunlight that otherwise would warm the Earth. And after a couple of years of that, there is just ice and snow on the ground all the time, and then it's just a simple matter of the snow building up year after year by sheer weight, crushing itself into ice.
Yeah, so yeah. You're talking about the albedo changing. I heard that the ice fall went all the way down to the north side of the Missouri River during the last major ice age. Is that right?
Well, there would have been much longer winters, whether it was 365 days a year.
No, I'm talking about like 11,000 years ago. The ice fall was a couple thousand feet. Yeah.
Fully.
And welcome back. I'm going to put up your column, which is quite amazing, as always, Lowell. This one, of course, you write the 2018 Predictions Part 3, Ice and Fire, which, of course, is the name of that stupid book by Wolf. A wolf in the wolf's clothing.
I think his is Fire and Fury. And we can
Fire and Fury, yeah, but I'm just saying it's a planet. The fact is, most people don't realize this, and you say it right in your blog, in your article, that, you know, global cooling is a lot more dangerous than global warming. And, you know, you mentioned here back in 1988, the March blizzard in 1888 buried New York City in snowdrifts 30 feet deep. I saw that happen when I was a kid back in Nova Scotia back in the 1960s. We had snowdrifts right up to the top of the telephone poles, 20-some feet high.
So 1870s and 1880s in the American Great Plains, like when Teddy Roosevelt was living there as a young man. They had snowstorms that left snow 100 feet deep. I mean, there were documented instances where spring would come, and people would walk out under the tree in their yard, and they would feel water dropping on them, and they'd look up, and their cows were frozen corpses in the top of the trees.
Wow.
50, 60 feet up. Cows that had tried to walk out through the incredibly deep snow.
Wow.
And that's because we were in a transition, and a very important transition to be aware of. Starting around 1850, we left the Little Ice Age, as it's called, which is the downside of these modern minimum periods you were talking about.
Right.
Yeah, and we now know, we can document. Jack Eddy of the University Center for Atmospheric Research documented at a great length in Scientific American at one point. About the time of Jesus, about the time of the Viking outbreak around 900 AD, and in 1850, we left long periods of very severe cold and entered a period of about 150 years of unusual warmth. The sun, every 1,000 years, or every 900 years, tends to turn up its thermostat, and that creates much balmier weather here on Earth. That's the kind of weather we grew up in, that we think of as normal, well, in
right.
Canada. In Canada,
right.
You're frozen, of course, you're the Great White North. But the problem is that we don't understand what normal climate is on the planet. Normal climate during an ice epoch is much colder, much more severe than we grew up thinking of as normal. For example, at the time of the American Revolution, when we were still in the Little Ice Age, the sea between, say, Staten Island and Brooklyn, those ports like New York, Boston, Philadelphia were routinely frozen shut during the winter. They were incredibly cold. During our war with the British, they were literally observed dragging heavy iron cannon over the sea ice between, say, Staten Island and Brooklyn.
Wow.
Quite a drag. So it was much colder at Valley Forge than we would think of as a winter today. It's more like the weather that the Northeast was experiencing, a week or so ago.
Right.
When they were hit by a so-called weather bomb. Now, as the transition began to happen from the Little Ice Age, a time when around, the 1200s, late 1200s, the Arctic sea ice began moving south until, after a time, Eskimos were observed landing in Scotland in their kayaks as they were fishing along the ice pack. I mean, it was very severe.
Right.
And the people in Greenland were suffering and so on, and then were eventually all killed off. So that's what we have to look forward to if the normal pattern returns. The idea that we're going to get warmer as if humans putting a little pollution into the air were the only variable, that is simply nonsense. The real variable is the sun.
Oh, yeah. I would say it's like turning on the solar lamp in your sauna.
We observed warming and then cooling going on Mars.
Right.
That was caused by human pollution, boys and girls.
Right.
That was caused by a change in the sun's output. And
right.
This is what people like Al Gore don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
The other thing they don't want to talk about, of course, is that bad as climate might get, we have ways of controlling the climate. We have ways of turning the temperature up or down within a certain limited range on planet Earth. So we might be able to stave off an ice age precisely with the things that are said to be causing this horrible global warming, a global warming that hasn't been measurable for the past, 20 years. You have to understand, too, the word weather and the word climate are very different. Weather is what's happening today in the sea and the air and the sky and so on. Climate is what happens over a 30-year averaging of weather. Well, since the Dust Bowl years of the 1920s and 30s, there has not been a 30-year period. That's what defines climate. There has not been a 30-year period of continuous warming at any time. Like from 1940 to 1980, the Northern Hemisphere's climate was cooling. Hence my book, The Cooling.
Right.
For the last 20 years, the climate has either been standing still or generally cooling. And we're now seeing that. And that's what you would expect, because we're now overdue for the sun to follow this 1,000-year cycle. We've had 150 years of warming. We should now be returning to normal. Normal being much colder during an ice epoch. In fact, the odds are 700 to 1 that the climate will not warm. It will cool on planet Earth if past patterns hold true. And that's been going on and been measured for thousands of years.
I got to mention a geopolitical thing. The invasion by the Nordic and the Scandinavian peoples of the southern Europe and so on during the Middle Ages was primarily driven by the climate changes. Just like the climate change causing drought in the Mideast is a primary driver, not religion, driving Middle Eastern and North African people into Europe. It's not a religious thing. It's actually climatic, isn't it?
There's all kinds of climatic effects that don't get talked about much. And a precursor of the end of the Little Ice Age is that what we were seeing in the droughts in France that led to the French Revolution.
Right.
That led to Marie Antoinette supposedly saying, the people don't have bread? Well, let them eat cake. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, apparently a few years before that, they had major volcanic eruptions with fluoridated microparticles that actually destroyed the crops in France and Northern Europe, and that's why the crops and everything died. In fact, I think it was one year where there was a year without summer because of those volcanoes in Iceland and in the north.
The year without summer involved two volcanoes, one of them going on in Indonesia, one of them was probably Mount Hekla in Iceland.
Right.
And those two volcanoes put enough shade, enough of a cloud up into the atmosphere, that in 1815, ice and snow remained in the shadow of trees and rocks down as far as the Carolinas in the United States, all 12 months of the year.
Wow.
So that shows, again, how close we really are to an ice age. If you were to get 7 bad winters in a row, you would be back in an ice age. I mean, that's how close we are.
Yeah, I want to throw something.
All that really means is that the areas where it snows now will simply be covered with snow year round.
Right. And that means a major population displacements and arable land displacements as well.
Oh, it would change property values across the planet, no doubt about it.
So, in other words, you want to be an Ice Age realtor. Back in a moment.
Non-attorney paid spoke.
Continue this discussion some other time. I think we're also due for a geomagnetic slip of the crust on the mantle, but every 750,000 years. There's actually two south magnetic poles right now. But the biggest stories coming out right now are, I like the fact that Trump actually did, a 55-minute discussion with both Republicans and Democrats to talk about this. And the news media and even Tucker Carlson went off on a tangent and tried to criticize Trump, saying he's going to make a deal with the Democrats actually just allow the DACA kids in without tying it to immigration or the wall. And I think it's been very easily clarified that that's just not going to happen. It does show that Trump is not crazy, as Mr. Wolf tried to denote, and even in his book he says that most of his thing is fantasy. The fact that we need to probably strengthen the laws against slurring and slander, this book would not even be on the shelves, but now apparently they're up to printing a million copies of the stupid book. Obviously, you can see the behavior of Trump and his mastery of both the Democrats and Republicans in this meeting. It shows Trump is not mentally ill, he's not incompetent, and he's actually trying to make a deal that includes DACA, but it's tied to the wall and immigration, such as the chain migration and the lottery. Any comments?
Well, it's interesting that all this attention is being given to a Michael Wolff whose main background was someone who worked for the Hollywood Reporter and Vanity Fair, whose business is gossip, and right. He talked to not a single member of the cabinet. He did not talk to the vice president. He did not have a real conversation with Donald Trump. What he did is he followed him around for months and occasionally said, "Hey, Donald, your shoe's untied." "Oh, that's it, yeah." And he says, "So altogether, I talked for about 3 hours to Donald Trump." Yeah, 10 seconds at a time. I mean,
that's kind of bizarre. Don't you find that kind of mentally ill? That's so bizarre, though, that he would try to turn this into. And then he makes the bold statement that this book is going to bring about the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. That's the height of insanity and arrogance.
The psychology department person at Yale University, who has been meeting with Democrats saying that Trump is insane and we are in danger and so on, she just recanted, at least to the degree of saying that it is indeed improper for her to be diagnosing someone she's never talked to, she's never met with, she's never seen the medical records of. She's just doing her own subjective diagnosis of his relative sanity based on how different his view of the world is from hers.
Right.
She is, Korean, I believe. But if you look at her credentials, she does not have credentials to be a psychiatrist, as I understand it. At least that's right. Been reported. So what in the world is she being taken seriously for? Well, she's fulfilling a Democrat fantasy.
Right.
Same kind of fantasy that 60 psychoanalysts brought against Barry Goldwater long ago, followed by a general recognition in the profession that it is simply irresponsible and nuts for them to be diagnosing and evaluating someone they've never actually studied.
Well,
back to violating the so-called Goldwater rule that you just are not supposed to do that as a professional.
Well, I remember a joke inside psychiatry when I was doing my psychiatric rotations back in years ago. And the reason why people go into psychiatry is they need a psychiatrist. In other words, the people that are psychiatrists, they know themselves plainly that they have not only a strange worldview, but they've got strange ideas that don't fit with modern society.
Well, what it is down to is they are the single most mentally ill profession on the planet.
Right. So the psychiatrist needs a psychiatrist. And it's actually, I call, and then what they're trying to do with the Democrats is I call star chamber psychiatry. In other words, you have a star chamber like they did in the Middle Ages. And the star chamber makes a pronouncement, even if you're not there as a witness or can't even answer your accusers. And all of a sudden, you're guilty, just like Napoleonic justice, and removed, you know, off with their heads, like, you know, the Alice in Wonderland. It's like, it's insane. Now, you can say you don't...
Let us not forget that in the Soviet Union, they routinely dealt with political dissenters by saying not that they're criminal, but that they're mentally ill, otherwise they wouldn't be objecting to our kind of society. And so they were taken to psychiatric centers where they could be injected with drugs that took them to within an inch of being unable to breathe, basically tortured constantly with such drugs. And that was the mode of punishment for such people. Mm-hmm. Much more than just locking them in a cell.
Yeah, people don't understand what the Soviet Union or even China is right now. Many of the people in the 20,000 Laodai prison camps are people who are just dissidents. They don't agree with the system.
Yeah. And this was something that Thomas Zaws, libertarian psychiatrist, wrote many books about. The idea that ideology and insanity are actually fairly close as ideas. That if someone, as long as someone is not a direct physical threat to other people, it shouldn't really matter to you if he believes he's talking to Martians or to himself or he has weird views. He should have the right to have that just as you would have a right to have different political views, which is really what it comes down to, a different view of reality.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. We're in the early 21st century. The chances that within our generation, within 20 years, that we're going to make first contact with an advanced civilization that will be openly accepted, not just hidden away, is pretty damn high and likely. So the people that are psychiatric, that consider crazy because you think there's worlds out there, like some of the exobiologists, and there's beings maybe 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 light years away, isn't insane when it actually happens. So a lot of the stuff that, for example, scientists have discovered about space-time and about even leaving the planet and so on, a lot of the things that were believed by people in previous generations 100 or 1,000 years ago is plainly would be considered back at that time insane. You know, if you didn't believe in Odin, for example, in Norse mythology, you were an apostate, and you must be considered insane, right? And the fact is the Democrats are actually turning their so-called party into a very nightmarish, basically pseudo-communist religion. Because communism is basically a form of mind control, the same way as Islam is. Many of these systems are not allowing you to kind of assess the viewpoints and analyze them and to kind of pick and choose this, like, you can see Trump was even asking for, you know, input from other people. And I heard one guy, it was really quite funny, he said, you know, why do we defend the border on the one-yard line? Why don't we defend it on the 20-yard line? And Trump just answered, like, we need a wall. Yeah, it's okay to know where the safe houses are and where the drug places are, but we need a wall. Now, it doesn't mean a physical wall so much as maybe a cybernetic wall or a berm so the cattle can go down to the East Grundy River and get water. But you need to have more agents and you need to have cybersecurity and drones and whatever, depending, you need to adapt it to whatever circumstances you have along the border. But for some reason or other, the Democrats, even though they supported the wall back in 2005 or 2006, and this fence that was just old Vietnam fencing put up so that the drug lords could take a torch and cut through it and then drive through with a giant vehicle, load it to the gunnels with drugs to a safe house, the drugs are coming in just like they have now. There's been about a 70% drop in illegals trying to cross the border, but not drugs. Drugs are coming in just as fast as ever, aren't they?
Well, there's money to be made from drugs. A lot of them are coming in from China, as we've talked about here. For example, in 2016, fentanyl and other drugs from China were a major factor in our having 64,000 overdose deaths in 1 year.
Right.
More Americans dying in 1 year from opioid drug use than died during the entire Vietnam War.
Well, everything about China tells me the multiplicity of their viewpoints and the way they want to interact. They want to be our best buddy, but they want to sell us bad stuff through Walmart and through Amazon, etc., that contains toxic lead and chemicals and so on, like melamine in the dog food. So, to be honest with you, last week Xi said he's preparing his military forces for nuclear war. Why? Why is he preparing for nuclear war when if North Korea really could be cut off from microchips and titanium alloys for shells of their rockets and so on, not cutting off food to North Korea, which doesn't have the proper system, but why would they even suggest that they're going to prepare for nuclear war unless they had an intention to prevent us from decapitating or potentially decapitating a regime that is actually targeting U.S. cities. China has got, they've got a serious global psychiatric problem themselves. They have a suicidal intention field around them right now.
Yeah?
They do. They need, if they're listening to this program, get a life. We don't want to nuke you, okay? We want to buy your stuff if it's not poisonous. And welcome back. Always lively discussions, Lowell. Let's talk about the book, Money, Morality, and the Machine. And, of course, that book is free. Postage paid, all you have to do is make a phone call, and how do they contact you to get the book?
And this is not a pamphlet. This is a 250-page book. Craig Smith, my co-author, you see every week on with Neil Cavuto on Fox Business. To get the book absolutely free and postpaid, just call the toll-free number, 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. 800-630-1492, and you'll find a lot of interesting information about climate in that book. One of the things we discuss is two United Nations climate officials have acknowledged that the whole global warming agenda of Al Gore and his ilk is political. It's not environmental. Its goal, one admitted, is to replace capitalism with globalist progressive collectivism. To replace capitalism and, quote, to redistribute de facto the world's wealth by climate policy, close quote. In other words, $100 trillion in taxes, shut down private enterprise and business, close down private property, use climate as a pretext for changing the whole world from capitalism to socialism. Don't forget, ClimateGate emails between the chief global warming advocate scientists expose their boasting, rather like the Clinton emails that got loose, about how they were boasting to each other about how brilliantly they'd been able to, quote, hide the decline, close quote, in global temperatures, and how they had kept global warming critics from being published in certain journals. In other words, they're not practicing science. They're practicing authoritarianism. This is the way Al Gore, when he was vice president, if any government scientist disagreed with him on climate issues, he would simply fire them. So right. They very quickly got the idea, you can get your head cut off if you disagree with Al Gore. You better shut up.
Right. So even though Al Gore isn't qualified to make a statement, East Anglia University and others actually agreed with Al Gore and the United Nations because he had a political agenda and he had the clout to be able to decapitate scientists and wreck their academic career.
Well, the way I explain it in the book, suppose you're a young scientist and the only thing you care about is studying the sex life of frogs in Guatemala, right? And the government will not give you any money to do that until an older scientist whispers in your ear, son, this is how you get on board the gravy train. And the next day you submit the same information, only you've changed the title of what you want to study to the influence of global warming on the sex life of frogs in Guatemala. As soon as you do that, you will be given millions of dollars to do research. That's how you start your career in the sciences.
So if you were in Vegas, let's say, and you're pulling and you're told by someone who knows which machine's going to finally dump all the coins, they tell you which one to pull the lever. This is the lever.
Yep.
Wow.
And it shows just how rigged science has become, especially government-funded science, which, by the way, is one of the things Dwight Eisenhower warned of in his famous military-industrial complex speech after he'd been president for two terms. He warned that science would be corrupted by this government influence. Well,
what are your main predictions for this year? Because I've got a couple, but I want to hear yours first.
Well, we face danger from the fact that China is issuing the petro-yuan to challenge the status of the dollar.
I heard they're also going to, by the way, stop buying our treasury notes.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's all part of the same picture that we've predicted through, I think, five or six books.
Right.
China was getting ready to do that. I talked to an economist once in Singapore, spent a very long lunch with him, and that's what he predicted. As soon as China has what they want out of you, they will cut the U.S. debt. They will do everything they can to destroy your currency and so on. And now they're doing it. Europe, meanwhile, which had been so happy that we funded NATO and a nuclear umbrella over them so they didn't have to pay for much of their own defense, has suddenly decided that it is going to have a European Union autonomous military separate from NATO. It doesn't need us there anymore either, and their military can be used to prevent any country from trying to leave the European Union.
Yeah.
So you're going to see that emerging in the world. Yeah. Too. I mean, the perversity of the system out there is just horrifying. And as to people coming across the border, North Carolina has just been ordered by a court to end its gerrymandered congressional districts and redraw them. What do they think it is when Barack Obama was allowing millions and millions and millions of people from our newly drawn southern border down in Central America and across Mexico to come into the U.S. and influence our vote totals? Does anyone think Hillary really got more votes than Donald Trump? Do you know what voting is like in California, where they just stand aside and let illegal aliens vote?
Oh, they actually encouraged it. The governor has come on camera and TV and radio. So has Barack Obama, even to media, and not only cable media, but also alternative media. So
the Democratic has done mass mailings to illegal aliens saying, you have the right to vote. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah. So here's a couple of my predictions. I'd like you to kind of refine them. The first one I expect is there are going to be a dramatic attempt, especially after the Wolf book and others within the Democratic Party, to do an impeachment of Trump. And they're going to fail miserably. Number two, they're trying to recruit people like Oprah Winfrey. Now, Oprah was silent during the years of all the abuse inside the media when she knew there were women and others, including men, who were being personally and sexually abused, and she said nothing about it. So if she actually has to answer questions in cross-examination, she's going to have quite a time.
Oh, this is Oprah Winfrey, who in 2013 told an interviewer at the BBC that old white people marinated in racism just need to die.
Right. So I have a feeling that if you just pull old quotes that she's made, she would be she'd be a heck of a person to try to pass. She would be they would pull all the ugliness up to make her look equivalent to Hitlery rotten Clinton. I call it Hitlery. So number two, I think she has a sense that this is an ugly, dirty job. This is like Micro working inside a sewer, being the president. It's not a pleasant job. I think the fact that Trump does it, and he does it with gusto, just shows you how determined he is to do the right thing. Okay? So that my first prediction is they're not going to be able to recruit her or The Rock or Arnold Schwarzenegger or any other celebrities, just like they're getting movie cast. Number two, my prediction is the Democrats before 2018 aren't going to come up with a list of things to make the average American have a better life, meaning affordable health care, controlled borders, a safe walk for their kids to go to school, though joining a gang in an inner city. The Democrats aren't going to provide any real list. So they're going to fail, which is against the anomaly. Usually each first president loses congressmen and senators. I think you're going to see Trump gain. And the next thing is I think North Korea, the reason why they're talking to South Korea is they're trying to see if they can somehow sideways separate North Korea from America and their policies, because the current president of South Korea is kind of wimpy. He really didn't want to have deployment of even the theater air defense system in South Korea, even though they're very vulnerable not only to a missile attack from tube rockets, but for nukes.
South Korea is actually a leftist by their standards.
Yeah, exactly. So it's my guess that he's going to get taught a hard lesson. And China basically manages the bad dog of North Korea along with Russia. It's really disingenuous that Putin said he's going to negotiate, when in fact, if you look at these rocket systems that the North Koreans have, their guidance systems are 1990 generation Russian targeting systems and missile guidance systems. So Russia is a lying piece of human fecal matter, and so is China. And we need to start facing that music, and that's why one of the comments that Steve Bannon said, it was said out of context incorrectly, because he labeled Donald Trump Jr. as well Manafort. What Manafort did that ticked Bannon off, and Bannon was right, but he didn't frame it properly verbally, is that he was trying to say Manafort should have known better working with Eastern Europeans and Russians not to trust them. And he didn't mean to smear Donald Trump Jr. He was treasonous. He was saying it was treasonous to kind of steer America into making deals with Russia, when in fact you can't trust the devils. And the same with the Chinese. And when they're weaponizing islands in the South China Sea and they're getting tons of short-range nuclear weapons and they're weaponizing North Korea as their bad dog, they're like a drug lord with a bad dog on a short chain. Okay? So I think what Trump is doing is he can see through all this. And the Chinese know they're not ready to engage us in a full-force war. But they're even telling their military, get ready. So there's going to be a trade war this year. I expect a 25% tariff. I see the tit-for-tat is going to really crunch the Chinese. And the young people in China, I believe you're going to start to see the fomenting of a revolution against the People's Republican Army. And the young people in the next few years will be like Iran. They're going to take over China and get rid of these old guard communists. That's my prediction.
So if you want cheap goods from Walmart, get them now. So
get them now because the tariff is going up. I guarantee you, next Christmas, Santa's elves won't look like they're from Pyongyang, probably from Beijing or Shandong or some other province in China. They're going to have different colored eyes, different shaped eyes. Santa's elves will look different next year.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning?
Your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.